Cody Goodwin. Code, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'm still trying to process everything myself, so this is probably a good thing that we're doing this year, because there was a lot that happened this weekend. A lot.
There is. Before I get into that, I want to ask you one question, and I had somebody ask me, and I gave them my opinion, but I wanted to hear yours. So they asked me if everybody still agrees with having the team championship early in the week and then getting into the individual and team on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Are you in agreement? I said it's great for the kids. It's great for wrestling because it gets more people watching it, and it's team, and it's totally different. What's your thought on having the team championship too?
Well, I mean, wrestling is a unique sport where you have two different ways where you can decide a team champ, right? Like, yes. You can do it through the traditional tournament, and you can do it through the duel. I like the fact that the Iowa High School Athletic Association has put an emphasis on trying to do both. You know, just over the course of the years where I've been able to cover wrestling and just talking to coaches and athletes and, you know, this, that, and the next, I would like to see state duels maybe move to its own week or its own, you know, which is a hard thing to do. There's a lot of different things that kind of go into this conversation, but I'd like to see it separated from the traditional tournament. It used to be that way. I think there's a way that you could probably do it again. You know, really a large reason about why they keep it the same week, you know, the day literally before the traditional tournament starts is just out of convenience, right? The Iowa High School Athletic Association rents out Wells Fargo Arena for, you know, that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, so it makes more sense to just do it that Wednesday. But I think there's a way where you could maybe move a lot of different pieces around to give it its own week, to really give the dual championship season its own week and its own stage, separate from the traditional tournament, whether that's before or after, you know, you get through the traditional postseason. I'd like to see that. I don't know if they're anywhere near close to potentially doing that. But I definitely, you know, I know it's a conversation for a fact that they have every single year. So we'll see if it ends up moving. But I like that they do both. I just think there's maybe a way to maybe put a better emphasis on both so that they both, you know, kind of have their own stage and their own spotlight.
And I agree with that. And I think one of the conversations were, is that too much wrestling? And I'm like, well, here's the thing. As a coach, if I could have a warm-up before I went for the big one, I think I'd take the warm up. Now, do you risk injury? Yeah, but no more than what these kids are doing when they're going at each other in practice trying to get ready. So, you know, the injury part, I'm not a big thing. I agree with you. I think it'd be nice if you did it like, you know, the Sunday before, you know, maybe at different locations all the time. Maybe you go to Southeast Polk, maybe you go to Waverly, maybe you do things like that instead of just having it down here and making it a big deal. Or maybe you go up and wrestle in the West Gym. How cool would that be for a team championship, a team duel, to go up at or go to Iowa State or go to the University of Iowa, Hawkeye, all the wrestling programs. I think that would be really cool too. But let's give I'll let you do a recap, but let's give the fourth time winner, let's give him props first, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, no, Centerville's Matthew Lewis. He became the state's 29th four-time state champ. You know, he ended up beating Osage's Nick Fox 3-2 in the finals at 145 pounds. And, you know, that's class 2A there. He's the second one from Centerville joining TJ Siebold, who won his four from 03 to 06. So it's been a while for Centerville. You know, Matthew Lewis, I think, man, there's a real strong case to be made that he's, you know, perhaps the quietest four timer in state history. You know, he didn't really come from a successful lineage like Lisbon's Cale Happel, who won his fourth last year. You know, he really doesn't have the national accolades like a Corey Clark or a Max Thompson or so many others before him. You know, he didn't really have kind of this neat story like Brody Teske and Alex Thompson a few years back. You know, they beat each other and then they ended up going on to win both their fourth titles in 3A and 1A. You know, even on Saturday night, you know, the night he won number four, Lewis wasn't even the main event, right? I mean, it was Drake Ayala, Ryder Block. Everybody wanted to watch that melee in class 3A. But you know, Matthew Lewis, if there's one thing we should probably remember about him is that he was a winner, right? And he was a grinder. He found a way, even as he lost to other wrestlers. You know, he had 9 total career losses and 6 of them came during his last 2 years. You know, his first title run required him to win in overtime in the finals. His third required him to win a one-point semifinal match. Even this past weekend, he had to win in the semifinals 3-2, and he had to win in the finals 3-2. And to win both of those matches, he had to ride out his opponent the entire third period in order to win. I mean, he literally had to keep another grown man down on the mat for two whole minutes to not just win a state title, but even to get to Saturday night's finals. That's how I think we should remember Matthew Lewis, man. He's a winner. He's gutsy. He's mentally tough. It doesn't matter how he won his four titles, only the fact that he did, right? Because in more than 100 years of Iowa high school wrestling, there's only been over 28 other wrestlers before him who had done that. Now he can add his name to the list. Tremendous, tremendous accomplishment, I think, for him and for the sport of wrestling. Really cool to see that on Saturday night.
I did too. That's why I wanted to give him his own little spot. And let's do that one more time. 100 years, folks. 28 people. Now 29. I mean, that's incredible. Let's go, and before we start hitting on everybody and the teams that won, that was a great match with Drake. You said it was going to be a great match, and I think it fulfilled everybody to see them go at each other.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, there were people that were tuning in from across the country to watch that match, right? You know, Drake Ayala, Ryder Block. You know, Drake Ayala, one of the best we've ever seen in Iowa high school wrestling, only a three-time champ, but a four-time finalist, 171-3 career record. You know, he won his last 12 and I think 15 of his 16 state tournament matches, because he was a finalist as a freshman, by bonus points. I mean, this is the type of dominance that we just don't normally see. And, you know, he won it this weekend up a weight. You know, he's a natural 126-pounder. That's where he's ranked number one in the country. That's where, you know, at his true wrestling weight, if he wanted to go wrestle for a national title tomorrow, that's the weight he would go at. But, you know, he took a loss in January to Ryder Block, who, you know, was a guy that's building a resume of his own that you know, stacks up among some of the best of all time. You know, he entered Saturday night's final without a loss in his career so far. He's just a sophomore, but, you know, that's a really hard thing to do. You know, and Drake Ayala kind of showed why we consider him to be one of the best. You know, he won that match 11-3. You know, it was 7-3 going into the, you know, final moments of the third period when Block tried to throw him to his back. And, you know, Ayala caught him for 2-2 there to secure the major decision. It was a tremendous match. And really, you know, it was tremendous in ways that almost have nothing to do with wrestling. It was tremendous because of the way that Drake Ayala kind of decided to push himself, right? Of the way that, you know, Ryder Block kind of decided to take the challenge head on, right? I mean, this was about winning a state title and exacting some revenge for Drake Ayala for sure, but this was more about, you know, the pursuit of improvement and about Drake wanting to dedicate himself to a process that centered on him finding and showcasing the best version of himself, right? I mean, this was a test to see what his limits were and if he could reach them. And he did. I mean, what we saw on Saturday was the best version of Drake Ayala I think we've seen during his career. And he's had a lot of phenomenal moments. You know, we're going to remember him for a lot of great individual wins. And Saturday night is absolutely going to be counted among them. But, you know, I think he wants to be remembered more by the fact that he was able to dedicate himself to something like this and, you know, dedicate himself to a chase for greatness, not just a state title or a third state title or whatever the case may be. He dedicated himself to just trying to see how good of a wrestler he could be. And that was the result on Saturday night. Tip of the cap to both of those guys for stepping up on the line and you know, putting everything on the line there and not really being scared. And I hope we see more wrestlers do that in the future, man, because that was tremendous. That's what this sport needs if it wants to grow. The superstars need to go head to head. And, you know, I really hope we see that more in the future, because that was tremendous. Kudos to both guys. They're two of my absolute favorites to watch, compete, and talk with on a regular basis. And, you know, credit where it's due. That was the highlight of the state tournament, no doubt.
It was. And once again, we're talking to Cody Goodwin. He is wrestling and high school sports reporter with the Des Moines Register. He is, his Twitter is at Cody Goodwin. Okay, so let's let's start at 3A. A great run by Waverly Shellrock, but Waukee had a lead early. Southeast Polk still trying. It was really fun to watch those three teams go at it.
Dude, it was tremendous, right? Because at the end of each round, no one team who ever had the lead. I know Waukee led after day one, and they were in the lead midway through day two. Then Waverly Shellrock overtook them for the lead in day two and ended up hanging on for the victory. But no team at the end of every session led by any more than 8 points. I mean, that's how close this really was. I mean, the final scores, Waverly Shellrock, 154.5 points. Waukee had 146. Southeast Polk had 143. It's been a really long time since we've had a tremendous team race like that, and not just a tremendous team race, a team race that needed to go all the way down to Saturday night until it was decided. I mean, we're talking 182 pounds. McCray Haggerty tops Griffin Gamble 3-2 for an individual state title, but that's what clinched it for the Gohawks. I mean, all the way up until then, Waukee had a chance, and it was, I mean, tremendous stuff going all the way down, just the drama, the intensity, the buildup. It was tremendous. Kudos to all three teams for really, you know, just bringing their best selves this past weekend, and you know, kudos to the Rustlers for really putting on a show. That was a tremendous race to follow. Not just, I mean, it was good. It was fun to follow every single round, every single day, every single session. It's really been a while since we've seen a team race like that. And we had the opportunity. I think, you know, going in, we knew that there was a chance it could happen, but the way it ultimately unfolded, I think, was better than anybody could have imagined. It was epic.
And everybody wrestling above what they thought they could do. I thought, you know, just watching and going through and keeping track of everything, you know, everybody had to perform at a higher level than what they did earlier in the week when they were going through teams, through the duels, and then to keep doing that. And for these kids, and I think we need to take a step back again and say that there were more than a majority of people that didn't think wrestling would be able to go on and have what they just had. And for these kids to give up everything that they have, I mean, normally what wrestlers give up and what they have to do to be able to perform in this sport, and then you throw a pandemic in there and stop all the, you know, you couldn't do everything that you had done in the past. And the fact that they performed the way they did, Code, I mean, seriously, it's not enough to talk about them on a radio show. I mean, people really need to realize what they just went through in that week. None of us would be able to do it. So the kudos needs to go to all these young men and women.
The only thing, I think the only thing I would have changed at all about this state tournament is I wish it would have happened not in a pandemic, so that we could have had a full Wells Fargo Arena for all 3 days, especially on Saturday night. I mean, that's the only way this tournament could have been any better, because the wrestling was as good as it's ever been in such a long time, and I just wish there were more people in the building that could have enjoyed it alongside with us. That's the only thing I would have changed about it.
Okay, take us through 2A and 1A. Once again, it was close, and, you know, it's that's the part, you know, and one other thing I wanted to say before we go there is the one thing that I saw a whole bunch of times when watching, when looking, was how the wrestlers treated each other after their championship matches. It was heartwarming. I mean, that's usually when you're in a sport like this, and it's not, I mean, you lose and you're throwing your stuff down and you're walking away, and that doesn't happen as much anymore. And I think that's a big deal why wrestling's becoming even more popular than what people thought it could.
Well, and I think the other thing too is that, you know, these wrestlers, I mean, they all understood what everybody had to go through this year just to get to that point, right? I mean, you nailed it just with the, you know, the normal demands that wrestling has, you know, the diet that you have to constantly pay attention to, making sure that your weight is always ready to go, the constant, you know, I mean, you're literally, it's an organized fight. That's what wrestling is. It's full contact, organized fighting with rules. And that is, I mean, that takes a heavy toll on, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that, you know, hey, they want to be the best that they can be, and they want to win state championships and do that, then the next. And then, you know, on top of all that, you throw a pandemic on top of them where, hey, you know, they can't do the things that they normally do. So there's got to be an extra level of dedication and an extra level of discipline that they needed just to get through this year and to give themselves an opportunity just to really compete on a weekly basis. I mean, you know, we're super amped that we got all the way to February and got to the state tournament. But a lot of these teams, I mean, it was a week-to-week thing for them. There were, you know, you never knew when practice would get shut down or some school districts would have to, you know, go fully virtual to combat high positivity rates. So these, you know, these teams couldn't compete. And that's not just wrestling. That's, you know, football. That's basketball. That's, you know, volleyball, any sort of sport that they've been doing since August. But, you know, especially wrestling where, you know, even the smallest little mistake, it shuts you down for 2 weeks. I mean, there's an extra level of dedication and discipline that was required to even get there. And I think most of the wrestlers understood that, which is why when everybody got down there, I mean, everybody was in a good mood. Everybody was just real happy and friendly. And yes, of course, you know, when two guys step on the mat, they want to kill each other. But when they stepped off the mat, it was, you know, hey, we got to this point. We're able to hold and host a state championship. You know, let's celebrate that fact. Let's, you know, hey, everybody got here. Everybody battled something a little extra just to get to this point. You know, and I think that that was absolutely palpable all throughout Wells Fargo Arena all week long.
We got about 2 minutes. Any surprises in 2A and 1A?
Nothing too surprising, to be honest. I mean, you look at the team race, it was pretty close and competitive in 1A for a little while, and then Don Bosco ultimately pulled away. And, you know, they did a lot of the work on Friday night. They put, I think, ultimately four guys in the finals. But, you know, they brought 12 wrestlers, put 11 of them on the podium. That's always going to be hard to beat. I don't care who you are. You know, they were able to pull away from Lisbon. That's their third straight state title. Tom Hogan, the head coach, this was his last year. So he goes out with a three-peat and his fourth total traditional team title. You know, excellent stuff there from the Dons. They've always been really fun to watch the last few years. You know, and in 2A, it was West Delaware's team race to lose. Last year they lost it. This year they did not. They put up 150 points. They brought 11 wrestlers. All 11 of them finished on the podium. They had two champs in Wyatt Boker and Carson Petlon at 195 and 285. You know, West Delaware was really good. So was Osage. They finished second. They scored 96 points. That would have been enough for Osage to win five of the last six 2A state tournaments. But, you know, they ran into a juggernaut in West Delaware this year. And, you know, last year when West Delaware collapsed a little bit, Osage capitalized. This year, West Delaware did not collapse at all. So nothing terribly surprising in either of those classes, just a lot of really, really good small school wrestling.
So what was Sunday like for you? Just total, I'm not doing anything? Or what happened?
I woke up at 10:30 and I still took two naps.
It's amazing, Code, what you did. And now it's on to basketball, and then it keep moving with high school sports. And for these athletes and for these coaches and for these school districts, you know, thank goodness. And everybody's hoping and praying that we just keep on going. So I wouldn't know what to do to not be able to talk, especially wrestling, but high school sports with you. And thanks again for coming in.
Well, absolutely, Steen. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Cody Goodwin, you don't get any more passionate about a sport than he is about wrestling. All right, debut, Kevin O'Hare, freshman basketball coach at Dowling Catholic and wanting to be a radio star. He gets his chance right now, even though he's only coming on with me. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Coach O'Hare and Steen after the break.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome back in. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. Website is 1700thechamp.com. You can go in there and you can listen to the show live, and you can grab a podcast coming up. They should be there after tonight. I did Thursday and Friday from last week. If you want to bet in Iowa, you need to use BetMGM. Download the app. It's easy to use. Really easy to use. It's easy enough to use that my wife loves to use it, and she loves to pick her spots in gambling and hates to lose money. So she's real fun to gamble with. If you want to sports bet in Iowa, go to BetMGM and download the app. It's my pleasure. And we do this a lot because anytime we're at Dowling and we're sitting at a game, we're talking sports, and it's the first time we get to talk about it live on the radio. I want to welcome in Kevin O'Hare. He's Coach O'Hare to all of us. Kevin, how are you doing today? Need to hit the button, Gary. See, you're not with a seasoned radio guy. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just had the wrestling tournament just got done, and Cody Goodwin does high school sports, just came in and just rocked the show because, you know, he only has one speed and it's full bore. So it was fun to get to talk to him. One of the things I wanted to talk to you first about before we jump into other sports, you and I have watched a lot of Caitlin Clark basketball. We've watched a lot of it together. When you saw her in high school and you worked with her and to do all that, did you think that she could take it and even move it up a couple of notches when she went to the University of Iowa?
You know, honestly, not this quickly. You know, her game speaks for itself. Like you said, you and I have watched her
since she was a very young player. And, you know, I knew she was going to get to another level and take it to another level, but I don't think any of us thought this the first 2 months of the year.
Well, and it's just the, you know, the overall range of the passes and the shot selection and the distance. I mean, it just makes her almost impossible to guard when she's open, when she crosses half court. And it just opens up, you know, her assist totals are only going to go up because people are going to try to double her, and she's going to find an open person. That's just who she is, and that's what she does.
Right. You know, and she's playing with, you know, four other Division I players at all time on the floor. And so these players used to be the best player at their school. And so she's surrounded by a lot of talent. You know, and it's fun to watch some of these recent games that she's had. You know, she's pulling from 40 feet or 35 feet and making them in clutch situations, especially there at Nebraska. But, yeah, I mean, I think she's, you know, she's 28, 6-6 or something are her stats. And, you know, six and a half rebounds, 6.5 assists to go on with all the, to go along with all those points is pretty amazing.
Once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. He is the freshman coach at Dowling Catholic, and he is on Twitter. He is at KOHare55. I really wanted to ask you this question, too. So being a coach and with freshmen where you get an A and a B team, and so that's a lot of kids, what was it like coaching during this COVID period?
In all honesty, and I know a lot of coaches talk about how, the difficulties, and there was plenty of them outside of the actual two-hour practices or the two-hour games or whatever, but it wasn't a ton different for me outside of wearing a mask for, you know, a few hours every day. You know, the kids never complained once, and I know I heard you talking earlier with Cody and some other subjects and stuff, and the kids are obviously the ones to commend on all this, but the kids never complained. We wore our masks for all 2 hours of practice. Now, I don't think you had to do that, but we wanted to negate any potential issues we were going to have. And so if a kid came down with COVID, but we were all wearing masks, we were allowed to play. If you weren't wearing masks and somebody came down with COVID, you'd have to take your 10 to 14 day hiatus. So we just made a decision, and I think a lot of schools did, to let's just wear our masks, you know, all the time, give them extra breaks and things along those lines. But never once did any of those kids complain about wearing masks, and, you know, maybe it just became normal to them. But, you know, you have the extracurricular stuff where you have to wash down balls or locker rooms or weight room or stuff like that. But the actual coaching aspect of it wasn't a big factor.
Well, that's a good thing. And I've been doing that since at least coming back on the radio, even before when because of COVID, we were off the radio, is that's who in the high school level, the college level, the professional level, I don't think we give these athletes enough kudos for giving up, because that's what they did. They gave up things. They had to give up friends because they couldn't go out and do stuff. They had to give up trips, vacations. I mean, it's still that way. It's not over. You know, spring break. I have a niece at Dowling, I mean, who's a senior, Anastasia, and it is difficult for her. I mean, she, you know, no dimensions, no prom, no homecoming. I mean, it's just, and she's a cheerleader, and it's tough to do. What these kids have done, it just shows what they're capable of if we get out of their way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, we talked a lot about the next, you know, in November, the next 3 months, you guys are going to have to, you know, be super careful what you're doing, where you're at, keep your groups to, you know, less than 10, less than 8, even 4. And you're going to have to make sacrifices if we want to get through this season. And you'd see other schools where maybe a situation came up, they had to go on pause or something like that. So anytime that happened, it gave us some more time to kind of reemphasize what we're trying to do, what we want to do and hopefully accomplish. And, you know, as a program-wide, boys and girls, we were very fortunate to, knock on wood, get through the season. And I know boys and girls are going through their sub-states now. But, you know, the lower-level programs played 18 of the 21 games scheduled. So we missed 3 games in early December because we went on just a little 2-week pause, but from a school standpoint. But other than that, we were very fortunate and lucky to complete that season.
And that's a great job by you And as always, you know, what you do, that's the toughest thing. You bring kids in as freshmen, and your responsibility, and you would love to say it's to win, but that's not what you're there for. You're trying to build these kids up into what they do at the sophomore level and the varsity level. And it's not easy. It's not easy being a freshman coach. And you know, I'm not going to tell you how great you are, because you already know that, because I've said it to you before. But
thank you.
The things that you do, and I have three boys, and one of them didn't play basketball, but they still talk about you all the time. And if they had an issue, I've always said this to you, I think at some point, if they had a big issue and they didn't want to come to me first, they probably would come to you. So that means a lot. Before we hop into, I want to get your take on Iowa and Iowa State. Best five teams in boys basketball is, I saw the other day that Cedar Falls is actually ranked ahead. Is Cedar Falls a better team than Waukee?
So the key word there is better team. And yep. Right. So I think short answer is no. They obviously play very well together. They've got great players there. You know what Waukee has at the end of the day in a you know, kind of a one and done tournament, so to speak. Once you get there, I just don't see anybody beating Waukee. And obviously, they've got to share the ball and they've got to figure that out. And they have, to a degree. But that's going to be their biggest problem, is who's getting the shots, you know, late in the quarter or late in a certain situation. It's Waukee's to lose, in my opinion. I don't see how they do.
And it's going to be interesting, because there's some teams. And Dowling happens to be one. I think Valley happens to be one that, and I think one of the either North, Hoover, East, Roosevelt, one of those teams is going to surprise somebody, just because if they get hot, I think they could play with these teams too. But it's kind of, once you get into this time of year, it's a team thing, not an individual thing. And you know, especially, you know, that Dowling is absolutely known for that. It's a team game. It's everybody is a one, and that helps when you're trying to make it. You know, you got to win these games, and it's, you know, it's not easy, but you're not playing multiple games in a week. You know, you get to prepare, and it's the one who's going to be the most prepared. I think they're going to surprise somebody.
No, I think you're right, and you saw it last year with Ankeny, right? Like, they got hot at the right time of year, and they had three guards that were really, really good who wouldn't miss. And so, again, matchups are huge, and you talked about Dowling and Valley, and they could potentially meet to go to state if both of them take care of business. Both of them have a ton of size, and again, depending on who you're matched up with and you know, what the matchups are and who's guarding who. I mean, again, matchups are everything. So anybody can beat anybody on any given night, especially in these one and dones. And it's always an exciting time of year.
When you're talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes, let's jump up there. They are, you know, you look at them on paper and you're going to say, a lot of people say, well, they're not one of the top four or five teams in the country. The way they play and the conference they play in, which is a brutal conference, not only based on talent, but based on how refereeing is in the Big Ten. It's like kill or be killed, you know, and sometimes that catches up with teams once they make it into the tournament. But as a whole of like seven or eight players, I don't know anybody in the country that has a better seven or eight. They may have four or five that are way better, but taking a whole group that you need to make it in the NCAA tournament, I think Iowa has a good shot.
I do too. You know, offensively, they've got, you know, points for days. But again, we all know, we all read about it and see it. I mean, they're going to have to guard, and they're going to have to play really good defense. And they're predominantly known right now as to play zone, or at least, you know, 70-75% of zone. And I know Fran does a great job of mixing things up and stuff like that. They've got shooters for days, and they got Luka, obviously, in the middle. So teams are going to have to double-team Luka, and that's going to leave somebody open, and those guys are going to have to make shots. I personally still think it's a Gonzaga or a Baylor to lose. But again, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. And, I you're right to a degree with them having seven or eight quality players. How many other teams around the country have that? And, you know, not many, if any.
And here's one thing that's you're not going to win. And once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. He is at K O'Hare 55. is you're not going to have a team that's going to win the NCAA tournament and not be able to hit threes. I mean, that the three-point shot has changed at basketball, but it's really changed basketball this year. If you can't hit shots from out there, I don't think you can win, Kevin.
No, I don't either. And another thing I always got going for them is obviously their three-point shooting usually correlates also to the free throw line. And they got a bunch of guys that can make free throws. And you're going to come down to late-game situations or shot clock type situations and guys getting fouled. And, you know, they're good for 75-80% from the line as a team throughout the course of a game, which is huge when you get into tournament time. You know, I think when they play that zone, they play a lot of that zone, rebounding or lack of rebounding sometimes can be a problem, you know, because you're not guarding a man per se. You have more of a territory or a spot. And I think you can give up some offensive rebounds and stuff. And you have some of these really good offensive rebounding teams like Gonzaga and Baylor and some others that, and again, who knows if they play man or zone when it comes down to that, and Fran will switch things up as he sees fit. But rebounding, I think, is going to be key for them.
In your regards, how good of coaching job has Darren DeVries done at Drake University?
Unbelievable. Oh. I mean, and I don't know all of his numbers. I think his 3 years there, he's over 20 wins in all three of them. And you know, he's without the one injury recently, and then, you know, I don't know if you just heard today or yesterday, yeah, Roman Penn.
Lose Roman Penn, yeah, that's a tough
right.
one.
That's a real, yeah, and so they're without two of their top five players now, and so we're really going to see Darren earn his paycheck here over the next month or so, but what he's done is unbelievable. And they're getting, and I think his assistant coaches, you know, and I know Matt Woolley being one of them, he moved over to Wake Forest, but Marty Richter and Matt Gatens, and I don't know all of them, but the recruits they're getting to come in from all over the country is impressive.
It is, and that goes to, you know, the athletic director, Brian Harden, making it easy, making sure people understand that Coach DeVries is an important part of this program, and paying him and the upgrades they're making in the facility, it makes a difference. You see what I'm doing here. I'm trying to not talk about Iowa State. But since we have a minute left,
yeah,
what do you do? You know, when you have someone that it doesn't look like they're getting their kids to play at a heightened percentage, I don't know what you do, Kevin.
And I don't either. You can see they're playing better. You know, they're playing with more effort and energy and stuff like that. And I know they're out quite a few guys with some injuries and stuff. Unfortunately, in the business that they're in, you know, it's make or break. It's win or lose. And so you start to hear the chatter about, you know, replacing Prohm and things like that. And I think Prohm is a great coach. But again, with their record and things going on this year, you don't know how many chances you get at that level. So, you know, I think how they finished the year, their last few games of regular season, a Big 12 tournament, you know, could be what we're going to see. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Prohm based on that. You know, do they finish and finish strong and save his season per se, or do they kind of throw in the towel? And then I think Pollard potentially looks at other options.
And I agree. I appreciate very much coming in today. I know that you said you'd come in whenever. Hopefully in these next 3 weeks, I can get you on once a week just so we can talk high school basketball and leading right into the NCAA tournament.
I love it. Thanks for having me again, Gary.
You bet. Thank you. Kevin O'Hare coming in. Great guy. He's a character builder, and that's important at the high school level. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I'm going to put a bow on the show for tonight, and we'll do a wrap-up, and I'll be back right after the break.
Connect with Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back into the last segment, Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Remember, if you're betting and you want to get into a little sports gambling action, download the app BetMGM. It's easy to use, easy to deposit, easy to bet. They have a lot of deals going on right now. So if you're going to bet sports in the state of Iowa, use BetMGM. Oh, wow. What a day. Great guest today. I want to thank Sean Bach for coming in, talking University of Iowa sports. Cody Goodwin for coming in and just killing it with wrestling. Enjoyed that. That's just one of those things. I had to say four things and get out of the way and say four more things and get out of the way. And he's so much fun and so passionate about that that it makes my job so easy. And thanks to Kevin O'Hare coming in. Enjoying being on the radio and getting to talk different sports. I know how much he likes being on. We've both done play-by-play with Amadeo and enjoy doing that. But to come in and get to talk about anything that you want, he's going to be back in. Maybe try to do a weekly segment with him and so many things to talk about, especially with the things that are coming up with high school basketball, girls and boys, and then the NCAA and then NBA getting ready to go into their playoff mode again. So I want to thank all those guys for coming in. It makes my job so easy when people are so good. Here's what's not easy, and let's remind all of our student-athletes. Yes, you're a student-athlete, and yes, you go out to bars every once in a while, and yes, you have teammates with you, and yes, you may think you're tough. A couple of Oklahoma football players, I don't know if you've been on Twitter to see, but you might want to check it out, thought they were tough and could push a couple of kids around. It looked like in a restroom of a bar, if I was going to guess where they were, and let's just say it didn't go well for the two football players who did not perform well in a fight against a couple of kids that even if I was looking at the picture and I'd go, yeah, I'm not going to mess with those two kids. But sometimes your noggin gets bigger and your brains get a little crazy thinking, hey, I'm a football player and I can do whatever I want. Or any athlete. Make sure that you pick and choose who you pick and choose to get into a fight with. It did not go well. We talked about the Seattle Mariners executive CEO that had to resign. Folks, that just gets to a point where you got to know anywhere you're at, people are going to be recording. You got to be careful what you say. You know, that's one of the things. And even when I'm on a rant or I'm passionate, I have a little thing here that I stick up on the little desk in front of me that says, don't be stupid. And that's hard for me because I can be stupid a lot. So you just have to be careful what you're out there saying. And he was not. And lost his job over that. I'm assuming that's not a low-paying job. So hard to come back from that stuff to get back into a team sport when you were degrading to other people. Really interesting thing that came out today also, and then I'm going to give you my knockout between Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods. I'm going to give you, it breaks my heart, but I'm going to give it to you. The U.S. soccer team, and when we were going through the spring and summer and all the turmoil and everything that happened in this country, people were trying to figure out a way that they could show their, you know, they weren't happy about the discourse that was going on in the country. And one of those things, and it got talked about a lot, was kneeling during the national anthem. Here's the great thing about living in this country. You can do that. A lot of people found out it wasn't the greatest thing to do if, you know, people have opinions and just like I do and so does everybody else. And we're going to let you know, and maybe we let you know by not buying your merchandise or not doing this or not doing that or going on the radio and saying, I don't like the fact that they do that. You know, they thought that by doing that was their right way to voice their opinion. They've now said that, you know what, we have, not that they're going back to standing because they don't feel the same about the cause, but I think what they're doing is trying to figure out a different way that they can show and try to work to even have a bigger bigger audience about trying to have people understand what everything they're going through. And you know, I'm a male and in radio and even in radio, I don't think females are treated the same. I definitely know that reporting on sports is not the same. And I know playing sports is not the same. So they have a legitimate fight there. And I think what they're doing is admirable, but I think that at a point in time, you have to decide, you know, how much do I want to, you know, how much am I going to push a button to have people just come back on me for no reason than to, it just gave them a reason to come back and hate on me. I, you have to be very careful. It goes in with who are you in a Twitter fight with, or who are you yelling at somewhere? You got to be so careful, folks. And you never know. You know, I think I said this coming in today is, who would have ever thought that a Duke Syracuse game at the end of February is a knockout game to who will not, and then saying that again, will not make the tournament. That is crazy talk. And, you know, man, you know, I get it. You know, and there was a time today, there was a couple of Twitter articles that were like, you know, it looks like some of the blue buds are coming back to life in the NCAA. And I'm thinking, are we really feeling sorry for the blue bloods that are struggling this year? They still get the best athletes. The crazy thing about it is, looking at that Jalen Johnson, who left Duke to get ready for the NBA, and what's Duke done since he left? They're playing better. Maybe he wasn't a good teammate. Maybe his attitude wasn't what they needed in a team sport. That's the amazing thing. When we were talking with Cody Goodwin about wrestling, man, that you don't get, even though it's a team sport and you were trying to win a team trophy, that's an individual sport, folks. That is the true individual sport. And if you don't believe it, try doing what they do. I don't think a lot of us could do it. I remember watching, and nice of the wrestlers that were at Southeast Oak that didn't just like crack me over the head. But we'd get done with basketball practice, and we'd run to Casey's and get a Diet Coke and a couple of donuts and watch them run in the hallways in garbage sacks and go, man, why would you want to do that? But never said that to their face because I was smart enough to know that's not something that you do. So, okay, here we go. So the knockout was Tom Brady, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. And the only reason I am going in the direction I am is because of the amount of titles won. And I think if I had to take one out, I would take out Wayne Gretzky, even though my passionate plea for him earlier in the show, I just don't know how you leave the other three out. I don't know how Tiger Woods is the second one. I mean, here's what Tom Brady's done. He was a football player at Michigan that he was a fifth round draft pick nobody cared about. And he changed himself and got with an organization that knew what they had and won six championships. And then he left that team because he thought, they're not looking out for my best interest. And he went to another team and he won a Super Bowl. That's pretty amazing. Michael Jordan's won two Olympic golds, six championships in a row. Bought an NFL team or bought a national basketball team, now is in NASCAR, and he's the one right now. Cause I don't think anybody in golf is wearing Tiger Woods stuff, but Tiger Woods stuff is very popular in buying. There are people in the NBA, not on the Charlotte Hornets, which he owns, that wear Michael Jordan's gear. So you can't kick him out. That's the one. If I had to kick out the next one of that group, I would kick out Tom Brady, even though he's won seven championships. He didn't change football. I mean, the football is still going to be there if Tom Brady wasn't there. Somebody's not going to win seven championships probably ever again. Tiger Woods changed golf. And if you don't think Tiger Woods changed golf, go out to a golf course nowadays, even in the winter, or like we did when we went to Toad Valley over the weekend where we're playing video golf and had people lined up before us and people lined up after us. And tell me that he didn't bring a whole new generation of not only people playing golf, but people in the PGA Tour and people in the LPGA Tour. They all talk about him. What Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer did was bring golf into the forefront. What Tiger Woods did, he brought golf into society at its highest and lowest level. That's the group of people that play this sport. And it is amazing what he did. So to get to that last one, and if I had to choose between knocking out Tiger or Michael Jordan, I'd rather knock myself out, because those are the two two of the greatest athletes and two of my all-time favorites, and I don't think I could choose between them. If I had to, I'm not so sure that I would knock out Michael Jordan and keep Tiger Woods, because I think the only thing that holds that up is some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that Tiger had that we didn't know about until it came out in the open. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show today. We did a lot of different things. Hopefully we brought some passion and you enjoyed. I will see you tomorrow.